is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 455, and right next to me, of course, is my trusty sidekick Ryan. What's going on?
I'm over here, other side. You got to point the other way.
Well, yeah. But
anyways, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's the summer. I'm like tan. I went outside, left the house, so I got.
Well, it really shows. You got light colors on. You got the light headset. I know. So like you're just sun kissed.
It's all coming together, I guess. But yeah, this week's podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Montech. If you go to montechpc.com, they have a bunch of cool stuff. They make pretty much everything if you're not familiar with them, as you can see on the screen, AIOs, but they make cases. They actually have some really affordable cases, coolers, things like that. So definitely go ahead and check out montechpc.com. Now, this week, we have a special guest. Like I said at the beginning of the year, we want to bring on really cool people in the industry, whether they work for a brand or whether they're a creator. And in this case, we have two really awesome creators. They go by the name of Liquid House or House. I don't know how you say it. Actually, we'll ask them how they say it. So welcome to the show, guys.
Hi.
What's up, man? This is awesome to be here. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much for having us. This is
John and Ellie from Liquid House. And I want to say one, I think, Ryan, when was this? Because this was like at least over a year ago. We featured one of their builds.
I was going back. I didn't take a look at
it was this build right here. It was this one.
I meant to go. I was on their site today and I think I saw that there, maybe I hopped over to their Instagram.
And I was like, these guys are doing this awesome tubing that like a couple other people do, but it was just so really, really interesting. And then once we featured that build, we saw like more builds pop up and I was like, wow, these guys are doing, and like by the name Liquid House, I was like, oh, these guys are in like Germany or somewhere else, you know? And then I ended up meeting you guys at Computex this year. And yeah, it's, you guys do some really, really interesting, at least in my opinion, when it comes to case mods. So I'm just like really, really interesting and unique builds and kind of like out of the normal fray of typical case mods, I guess I would say that.
That's the goal. That is the goal, is just doing it a little differently than what you usually see. So I'm glad that you're seeing our vision on that.
Yeah, that's what really like set it apart for me, because we do on the website, we do Case Mod Friday, which is where we, you know, feature a build in the community. And I've seen so many, I mean, we've been doing it for I don't know how long.
You can scroll like forever on the.
Wild. So yeah, it was really, really cool to see something different and unique. And I guess that kind of brings me to the first question, is like, how did you guys even get started into doing this? Were you just doing builds? Were you just always into computers? Like, how did that kind of start?
Well, I founded Liquid House in 2017. And I had been building computers for years and years prior. But 2017 was kind of like a crossroads for myself in terms of like
career wise,
kind of wanting to, I mean, I always wanted to build computers, right? So it was like, how do I do this for myself rather than for another company, you know, if you will, and have full creative freedom to do whatever I wanted rather than to be constrained, if you will, within any sort of guidelines or sort of branding consistencies or something like that, that other companies or SIs may have.
Because he did, prior to Liquid House, work for a system integrator as well. So yeah, there was like a little bit of creative control that you weren't able to have that creative freedom.
Yeah, I was manager of the water cooling department within the SI, and things were good for a while. But over time, I started to realize the creative constraints, and that's where I had the most fun, right? So it's like, okay, you know, that's fine. You guys can do what you want to do, but I think I'm going to do my own thing. And so in 2017 is when I actually started Liquid House, but the name actually stems from a hybrid passion, if you will. So me and Ellie actually met at a European car show in Vegas in 2013. And so we've been in the automotive industry for years and years, and we've been really passionate about that. But one consistent thing that we've seen across the world, actually, not just in the States, but specialized mechanic shops that like specialize in the European automotive scene, if you will. A lot of the shops have house in the name.
Or like auto house.
Right.
Or house it is.
Yeah.
So it's like it's very establishing, if you will, you know. Yeah. It's very like in your face, like you are going to get like, this is the house of X, Y, and Z.
Right.
So, which is then leads us to liquid, obviously.
Right. Yeah. And
water
obviously
cooling.
The most passionate about liquid cooling, you know, obviously, you know, computer building is computer building and PCs are awesome, but trying to like hone in and be like, well, this is what we're really about. Right. It was definitely liquid cooling. So just fuse the two together.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
That's awesome. It's good to know, because I didn't know how you guys kind of started. We never talked about that when we were hanging out. So that's
I do want to say it cracks me up, or like it all makes sense. The look of those like intakes, you have a couple fans showing here, right? And they reminded me when I first saw them, they look exactly like, because I'm kind of into cars too, right?
Yeah.
Right. They look like the side of a turbo that has a nice shiny like aluminum intake on the side of a turbo, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's where you got that inspiration from, but that's exactly what it reminded me of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. A nice little velocity sack situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. No, so, a lot of our work, I would even say like even the industrial stuff that's not even too on the nose, is very, very automotive inspired. Like back in the day we did, what launch was it with Intel? Was it the 13th gen launch where we did the Peak, and we had two, it looks like the a VR6. Yeah, it kind of looked like VR6 kind of situation on one of our custom chassis.
That was the 13900KS launch.
Yeah, and yeah, 13900KS.
So we did a...
Because it was overclocking to 6 gigahertz, or 6 gigahertz right out of the box. So they wanted like something that had to do with like six. So we were like, okay, six, VR6. So we had like, it looked like a nice little six-cylinder situation.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. And that was in LA.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what I wanted to ask. You know, you guys have done some real, like I'm looking through your Instagram now, like some really amazing builds. Do you have a favorite or a couple that you think are like some of your best work, or one you're most proud of?
It's hard to say, because I feel like we've done so many. I feel personally like we have accomplished a lot of like little things through our career, if you will. I mean,
it's funny to say.
I know it does say something, but like there's like a lot of fun builds. Like for instance, we worked with Deepcool back when we were able to work with Deepcool, and we did a Matrix themed build in their what was it called? Yeah. What was that chassis called?
I can't even remember.
No, it's named after one of the Matrix.
Oh, the Morpheus.
Morpheus.
Yeah, the Morpheus.
Yeah. And I thought that was, and it's just fun to do something so creative and out of the box. And I love when we can throw paint on a case and, but also
is this,
we
is
have,
this the,
yeah, that's the one. Well, oh. Yeah, that yeah, one in the very the, beginning.
It's surreal. Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thumbnail.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you can kind of see that's kind of crazy with the Sentinel ripping the case apart and stuff like that.
Yeah, I remember when I saw that as well, because that was wasn't that for an NVIDIA thing or no?
No, that was just for
Deepcool. It was at CES, it was at Deepcool's booth.
Yeah, we did another green and black build for GeForce Garage as well.
Yep, right there you go.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah, like that's just it's so much fun to be able to weather something and really like beat the hell out of something and make some things look nice, but like also not good too. Like, I don't know. There's, as a perfectionist as well, it kind of is a challenge because you have to make it look intentional, but not, you can't, I don't know, cross the line and make it look trashy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It is a difficult thing to tiptoe.
Yeah.
I think you guys do a really, really good job of like, I feel when you look, like when you're, say you're going through Computex or you're going through CES, you're like, oh, that's a liquid house build. I think you can kind of tell. Mm-hmm. It's just, you guys have this really, really unique style that I just like really, really like, with like, you know, mixing the different styles of tubing and kind
that's
of the
my
way
favorite.
the way things are sort of abstract and it's
I was gonna say my personal favorite is our ISO chassis. Because like you, I mean, it's almost exactly word for word, like you said, right? It gives us a chance to be the most abstract with it. Because the abstract builds are the ones that are my favorite. At first glance, they don't make sense. And then you have to like really pay attention, like, oh my gosh, like this is working in a crazy way.
Yeah. We also like to be a little controversial as well and start some conversation and get like, if somebody doesn't really like it at first, and you kind of, you know, when you listen to a song for the first time by an artist that you like, and you're like, okay, well, it's been like a 3-year break, and I don't know if I love that he went to therapy, but like, I guess, okay, it sounds different, but like, you know, it's kind of like that. And then you're like, okay, I'm actually warming up to it. I kind of like it. Well, you know, I actually kind of mess with this, you know, that's kind of where we want people. We want to be thought provoking. We want people to think about the things, ask questions.
It's not just a computer,
right?
It's like, all right, well, there's a lot going on here. Let's discuss it. Let's talk about what you like, what you don't like, right? Like, what would you do differently, right? Like, we want to hear from other people, like, because it's all subjective, right? You know, and obviously we enjoy doing all this crazy, wacky, abstract stuff and doing it differently and stuff like that. But like the main point for all of this is to really inspire other people and get their brains going, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like getting people thinking is the biggest thing.
For the most part, if you go to like just a normal PC event, whatever, or like even like a LAN, right? A lot of the builds that you would see a company set out, they're all copy paste. And for the most part, if you were to just do a quick Instagram scroll or Reddit scroll, for the most part, all the builds kind of do all look the same, right? And they're all kind of configured the same. They're all using, for the most part, I would say the same components, because there are a good amount of mainstream components that are used in builds versus not. And that's fine. But like over all the years of us doing it, you can absolutely see that pattern, and that pattern kind of bums us out. So we try and break from that norm and say, okay, let's do something completely different, right?
Yeah. And I mean, there are also times where we're like, oh, we're too different. We need to be more mainstream too. So there's like two sides of that coin.
Discussion for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's only so many O11 dynamic builds I can look at.
You know? Hey, listen, I have an O11 dynamic build right here next to me, okay?
There's nothing wrong with them.
No, it's a great case. Absolutely. It's so good that everybody wanted it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
They wanted the, you know, everyone loved the O11 so bad, they made it 900 times. So
I mean, you gotta capitalize on what's popular.
Yeah.
Right. Like I did a build in one. 911
or O11 builds, you know, and
yeah,
it's a 911 because Porsche, but we've done a lot of O11 builds as well. And we enjoy every single one that we've done. And it's not like we're saying, ooh, you know, ooh, mainstream, ooh, get away. It's like, no, not at all. It's like, all right, that's cool. Let's remix it though. You know, like let's do something different. So,
yeah.
Well, like I said, exactly. I think that's what makes you guys stand out, is like just the little touches, the little things that just make it just a little bit different. We have a question in the chat from Jesse. I assume this is to you guys. It says, any plans for a 480 millimeter velocity stack STL?
Sure.
It's funny because we just actually posted these STLs on our website for sale. We had been sitting on these velocity stacks for like a couple months, but we had a recent move and it jumbled all of our plans around. But I started with the 140s because I don't know if you guys know this, but 140 millimeter fans, specifically with radiators, they have a lot more surface area for cooling. And so 140 millimeter base radiators are a lot more efficient than 120 base radiators. So a lot of the stuff we do is 140 base. Like for instance, our ISO chassis is a 140 millimeter base. It's 420 millimeter base, but it's on the 140 base platform. Because you do get a lot more cooling. For instance, I don't know the math off the top of my head, but a 420 millimeter radiator does provide more cooling surface area than a 480 millimeter radiator. So, and it's a lot smaller too. And you wouldn't even think about that. So it's kind of stuff like that. It's like little details. And so that's why we started with the 140s, but yes, absolutely have plans to do 120 based, which will include, probably 120, 240, 360 and 480. And then for both the 140 and 120. So,
Nice. Do you recommend like PLA for that, or is PLA okay? I mean,
yeah,
you're not getting like temperatures that are going to start melting that, or
that's because we're dealing with intake, right? Like, right. If the velocity stack was for some reason on the exhaust, yeah, the hotter temperatures is going to start maybe making it a bit soft, and it won't hold the shape perfectly. Right. Right. And if then you print with ABS or PETG. But for the most part, the stuff that we do works just fine with PLA. But obviously, it's because we know there's a line that we don't cross with the heat with the prints. Yep. And so far, we've been pretty solid with not having any deformations with PLA.
Cool.
Nice. We also have Old Man in the chat. Of course, always good to see him here. And he says, too bad SLI and Crossfire aren't a thing anymore. There were some really cool water cooling builds using two or more cards. Have you guys done any multi-card?
It's so funny that you mentioned that, because I feel like my origin story to like PCs minus like messing with them as a kid is the first time I met John, he had 4 GPUs in his system. And I was just like, wow. Not only do you have like this giant desktop computer, but like it has 4 graphics cards. Yeah. I'm like, this makes no sense. That was the last time we did that.
Well, yeah, so they were 4 7970s in Crossfire. And
oh, nice.
God, I really enjoyed that. That was back when they actually stacked correctly.
Right. Yes. Yeah, they scaled correctly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, I completely skipped 20 series, so we didn't even mess with that. And then, when the 1080 came out, the 1080 Ti, I mean, you guys remember that thing was so powerful. It's like, man, I don't even know if I need a second one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
And they could have SLI'd. I did a few SLI systems when I was working with the SI that I was with during that time, because it was during the 10 series and 20 series. But personal systems, yeah, man. I completely agree, though. I really wish that these cards stacked with SLI or Crossfire. I got to say, during CES, this past CES, I was really hoping, because NVIDIA was like announcing something big, right? And it was the actual launch of the 50 series during CES, but I was hoping that like the big mic drop was like, oh, and by the way, SLI's back, boom, mic drop. And it would have been insane. And I would have been so stoked about it, but alas.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do it. And the thing I think holds it back too is like the game developers making it so they stack correctly is just such a, that I don't think the game developers want to optimize the games for it. So,
I mean, with everyone using Unreal for everything now, it's like, they've shown their colors to be, if they're going to take the easy route, they're going to go the easy
they're
route. Right?
Do
and it's like,
yeah. Well, like, it on the funds and everything like that.
Right.
The budget's not there.
In my head, though, you would think Jensen would be like, oh, yeah, let's do SLI. Because then they would be enticed to buy more.
Right. Right? Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Then we'd be talking about a $5 million market cap rather than a $5 trillion rather than $4 trillion. Yeah. Right.
So it just keeps on going up, you know?
Right. Yeah. So, like, I don't know. In my head, it makes perfect sense, but whatever.
Yeah. You have been talking about your ISO chassis, and I didn't know you guys were actually selling this. For our audience, kind of give them a rundown if they want to buy one of these off you, kind of like what's it designed for, what can it handle, what's it made out of, all that.
Sure.
Kind of stuff.
So,
it's our first limited run chassis. Like, this is the not our first design. We have designed 2 other cases as well, but this is like the first one to actually make it to mass manufacturing. So we only made a limited number, obviously, still, just to kind of keep that exclusivity of it.
We literally only have a handful left.
Yeah.
We shipped the majority of our orders out just these past few weeks. So there are actually still some in transit that are getting, and they've gone everywhere. We've got one going to Japan. We've got one going to Sweden. We've got one going to China.
Saudi Arabia.
Wow. We've got them all over the place. It's really cool.
I think we sold as many stateside as we did overseas, which is pretty awesome. But in true Liquid House fashion, very 304 stainless steel, so very robust, very serious.
Yeah, so it's an interesting design, and
I would say it's more of a frame than what we would say a chassis. Yes. I think we're kind of like moving in the direction that it's like it's not a full chassis; it's more as a frame for you to you being the end user to decide what you want to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like in a case, you can take it all sorts of ways, and you can take this all sorts of ways. But when everything's mounted up to it, the chassis kind of disappears behind all the hardware.
Yeah, yeah, and that's something I like about it.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. Yeah,
that was kind of the goal, right? Yeah. It's like you spend so much money on all these really cool components, especially when you're in the water cooling aspect of this hobby or industry. There's a big rabbit hole to jump into with a lot of really expensive components that you can really kind of splurge on and be like, oh my gosh, like this is so awesome, this is really cool. But then you bury it in a build and you can't really see it or appreciate it. This is meant to, you know, accentuate all of that really cool stuff that you purchased and want to kind of show off.
Yeah.
It's a structural engineered design. So like if you're to get it out of the box, it looks a little weird and flimsy, but it creates a lot of rigidity and actual structural integrity strength once you like mount up a 420 radiator and the power supply. Then you start kind of actually seeing this counterbalance action happen in real time. And then, I mean, you've seen some of the examples of the ISO. You can throw all sorts of weight over on the far end and it just holds it.
We had it holding a 5090 Astral at one point as well. Should kind of show you the off.
This photo right here is actually one of our last prototypes that we did. And this was based on a 360 mil radiator design. Okay. We sensed supersized it just to create a bit more rigidity and counterbalancing action, because we wanted to see how small we can make it and still have that idea. And then we're like, okay, we know the limitations, and we did like three or four ISO iterations before kind of deciding on, okay, this is the sizing and the specs that we want to go with. And so
I think we're almost to.
So that was the mock-up one for the AlphaCool ISO. If you go towards the top,
like this one with the links on it,
that one's still a 360 base. So that was one of the final prototypes. Let's see. But I mean, that's a good example, right? That's a
there.
Like,
there we go.
No, that's not it.
That's still not it.
That's the 360. So we actually made this to appease AIOs, because this is right there. That's the real.
Why do we do? Oh, there we go. There's the Astro.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't have the solid gold one.
No.
Did you guys see that?
Now that would have been a good test.
That thing was wild.
That lost in the mail.
That would have been a wild test. Yeah, 304 stainless steel, and we went with the stainless steel because, one, it's kind of like a classic timeless look. It's easy to kind of make it your own. If you want to stick with the brush surface that we provide, you can go with that. If you want to bead blast it or sandblast it, have a really nice, diffuse, sober finish, kind of like Thermo Grizzly did at Computex, you can do that. Or if you just want to powder coat it, you can do that as well, right? But we start with stainless steel so that it doesn't rust, right? Yep. And so it always looks good. If you scratch it or something, you take a Scotch-Brite pad, buff it right out. It cleans up no problem. And we've got a bunch of other products in the past where we've like, okay, you know what? Let's try and do like a white and black variant with like a raw. And that's really hard to dance around because so many people want so many different things. And then you get like, oh, well, can you do a blue one? It's like, how about we just like go with like a base material?
Yeah, you have to keep it like very cost effective when you're going into manufacturing as well. Like, you're not going to make everyone happy. You have to make decisions like these limited run chassis instead of making 150 of them or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's very expensive.
And I mean, the timing too is pretty bad. I mean, like we were wanting to do the ISO a few years ago, and now like with tariffs and all this other crap, it's made everything a lot more difficult. to prototype, to fulfill, to ship, to produce. Like literally every step is exponentially more difficult now because of how the world is. And so I wish we could have done this a few years ago, but you know, it's easier said than done with most things in life. And so by the time we were able to do things, it's like, all right, well, this is time to,
it's 2025.
Yeah. And even then, we had to move a few months ago. And so this kind of kicked it off a little bit early. And so, I mean, it is what it is. And we're really happy with the results. We're really happy with the initial impressions people have been getting. Like in our Discord, people will hop on and be like, oh my gosh, I just got it. And then they're starting to put it together. And they're like, holy crap. Like I didn't realize how many different combinations of stuff you can do here. Like I might have to sit here and like kind of think for a second. Like they have like this idea in their head. And then once they get it and they're like, oh, damn, okay, I might have to rethink. Like I can do a lot more than I realize here. And so, you know, we made a video about it on YouTube and we've posted so many different variations, but even then, you know, you can only show people so much. You kind of need them to kind of dive into it at the same time and kind of realize for themselves. And so it's a wild chassis, and obviously it's not like anything else that's on the market. And that was another aspect that we really wanted to attack on. It's like it's gotta be something that hasn't really been done or seen before. And,
well, that's why I was just like, wow, this is really, really interesting. And yeah, guys, it's $399.99. You said 420 millimeter radiator.
Yes.
Mini ITX motherboard, full size ATX power supply.
Yes.
And again,
you can do a 140 base, whatever you want component on the backside of the motherboard panel. We've done radiators, distros, GPUs, like that Astral setup, because you can put with a secondary GPU bracket that we've got. You can. So if you go through those photos, you can see that GPU can be set up in multiple ways on the back, just the traditional on the front. So
yeah, we did have a question in the chat. Somebody said, "Can you wall mount it or not?"
It's not designed necessarily to be wall mounted.
I guess you could.
I don't see how you couldn't.
Yeah. I think if you were to go through the back of the motherboard panel and have like studs on the wall and then just run like a 90 degree IEC cable out of the back of the power supply, so it just like drops straight down. I think you could technically do that. Yeah. But this frame chassis is definitely designed to be like a freestanding thing.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, that's awesome. Like I said, it gets my mind thinking of like what I could actually build in this and how, you know,
that's the thing is we want people thinking.
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny because if you were to get one and open the box, it's literally every individual piece just wrapped in foam. There's no real manual, if you will. And we kind of did that on purpose because it's like, listen, this is the kind of chassis that is kind of meant for the advanced builders. We want you to kind of think for yourself and kind of figure it out. We don't feel like we need to hold your hand with anything.
But we also have a community of people who also bought the chassis that are putting their builds together and working together and doing it as well. So it's not like you're completely on your own.
Right. Yeah.
We're there. Other people are there for you. But it's very, it is a very like think for yourself type of product.
Those things like build order, right? Like what component needs to be in here first? What if, you know, because you don't want to put that GPU up on top without having the PSU on the base. Think about those things. And that's where that community comes into play. And
100%.
Tips and tricks for this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That moves us on to, so do you guys primarily do builds for brands? Can somebody come to you and be like, hey, I want you guys to do a build for me? Is that kind of both?
Definitely both.
Yeah. I mean, through the last few years, I would say that we have been very brand focused. We've been super busy with brand work. Which is a blessing. But also I think we have decided that it's probably fun. It would be fun to take on some private client work. So we are opening our commissions. Also
like within the month.
Within the month. Cool. Another thing that we have kind of in the works, which is exciting, is possibly a line of pre-built systems too of components that we've you know, trust and rely and configurations that we trust and rely on. And so, yeah, there's a lot of different, there's a couple different things that we do. Gotcha. So yes, both.
Yeah. Now, if I'm, you know, just some normal person and I want you guys to build me a PC beyond the cost of the actual hardware, would you be able to give us like a rough estimate of how much that would cost? So, like just a normal person that would maybe reach out to you?
I mean, I think it's really hard to say without, I mean, if we're talking like a 5090 top of the end system right now.
You said aside from the hardware.
Yeah, like aside from the hardware. Yeah. So like if I know how much, you know, I spec out a build, okay, I get an idea of this is going to be $4,000,
$5,000. I think that would be surprising. I think it would be less than what you would think it is.
Okay.
Truthfully.
Yeah, I mean, like we're not here to gouge anyone, right?
No.
We understand, especially nowadays, that hardware has become so much more expensive than it used to be, right?
Yeah.
And so when it comes to the labor, obviously there's a value on that, but at the same time, we're not trying, it's not going to be a
high. Well, you guys are creating something truly unique and interesting too.
You're so right. It is a piece of art.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It can't be discounted. It's not like you're buying a pre-built from one of the big names. It's going to look like every other pre-built out there. Right.
Right.
So yeah, it's just get an idea for like our audience to say, okay, well maybe, you know, I Ryan makes fun of me all the time because I won't learn water cooling. Right. So like, if I was like, okay, well my next build, I want it to be water cooled, but I don't want to water cool it. So just give our audience an idea of, you know,
no, it's really hard to say.
Yeah.
One time John did a system when he worked for the SI that was a $30,000 system. We would never in a million years charge anything near $30,000.
It was a quad SLI.
It was obviously Titan, correct. Titan there XP, was like a very specific.
Yeah, there's a lot of money.
No expenses spared.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was still only like 14 or 16 worth of. 14 to 16K worth of
like, parts, we're not like marking it up 100%. That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
But I mean, like, okay, so like, for instance, if I would want people to come to us to do liquid cooling, right? If people were to come to us like, oh, I want this like crazy air cool build, I would be like, that's cool, man. And I would like recommend
someone else for that.
Cause like, sure, I would love to say yes and get a client build done and we could probably oblige them in that, but like my initial take would be like I would want them to come to us because they want something crazy with water cooling, right?
Yeah, you would think they would.
And once you dive down that though, it can go all sorts of ways. And that's why we're like at first like, oh, I don't know, because like, I mean, you can do a CPU only loop, right? Using bare bones components that maybe are not the best to use, but at the same time, like Ellie said, we want to also configure systems that utilize water cooling components and other hardware components that we ourselves have used continuously over the years and know for a fact that like, man, this performance is solid. We've been consistently happy with it. We are configuring it based on our own experience, not like, oh,
it's the newest thing.
We'll make a custom one of one, whatever you want. It's like, listen, this is spec based on all of our years of experience, what we are configuring for you is going to be amazing performance-wise, no matter what, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, there may be a few things like, oh, would you want to go with this fan or this fan? But like for the most part, it's like, oh, we'd want to use this radiator or this pump reservoir combo or this kind of tubing, right? And so that it kind of shifts, it goes all over the place. And so, I mean, like, for instance, I would say starting on top of all the parts, 1,500 just to start. And then it can exponentially explode, though.
Because, well, yeah, if somebody says, I want this little thing done, I want this. Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah.
Yeah, it goes up from there, right? Just based on kind of what they're going for and if they want a specific part based on, like, how we feel about it. And so, we plan on starting our commission builds basically with like a one-on-one consultation, manage expectations, get them on the same page with kind of like what they're looking for, and then go from there. And it'll be kind of like an intimate one-on-one setup But, you know, we kind of walk them through the setup. And then by the time they get their system, maybe a month later, it's going to be awesome. And they'll be really happy with it. You know? Cool.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome that you guys are starting that up too, because like I said, I think you guys, it would be really cool to have, instead of my O11, to have a...
Well, I was going to say, I think at some point, dude, later this year, you come out here and we do a live stream where we set up you with the water cooled system.
Yeah, I think that would actually be pretty cool. And maybe teach you a thing or two so you're not
on. We're going to be teaching you to do it, and you're going to be the one doing it.
Exactly. Because, I mean, Ryan's been on me for years about it.
So. I'm telling you, let's get rid of that point of tension between you two.
I know, right? talking about water cooling and building, do you have any favorite builders, of course, beyond yourself, that you really like? Or you really see their work and you're like, wow, this is just like amazing?
I would say Ron at Blue Horse Studios just always knocks it out of the park. Obviously, like AK Mod, just two legendary PC modders, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are the pinnacle of putting their head down and just doing the craft, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they don't let anything affect them.
They don't let anything hurt their feelings, so their work gets affected. You know, I think that's a huge thing too that you see a lot in our space, is people who just don't get the reaction that they want. And I get it. Like, we have hurt feelings sometimes too, but like, it's not always about that. I think the artists are just very sensitive, and Ron and AK put their head down and just really put out, and it shows in their work that how hard they actually
without a doubt
how serious they take it. But I would say that Ron and AK are pretty much everything they do, I'm just like, wow.
That's a like bow and arrow. I would just look, the Luminarch, I think, was the
insane. It doesn't even make sense. Like, when we were at Computex, I mean, like, we saw his work the prior years, but this year especially, seeing AK's work up close, it's like, man, I can't even wrap my head around like where you start, right? Like,
how do you get the concept?
Yeah, those guys are still taking me to school, right? Like, it's crazy. Yeah. So, like, funny. Much respect to them, but it's also, being that we know them on a personal level, you can kind of see the inner workings of like how their process is. And it's a lot to strive towards, right? It's really respectable in the sense that, you know, they can just do the stuff. They don't let anything exterior affect them in any way. They know their vision. They know what they want to accomplish, and they don't let anything get in the way. And that's tough to do these days. And so, you know, we have a lot of respect for that.
I think I also want to give an honorable mention to Modding Cafe as well. And Vietnam, where's he from?
Yeah, I believe he's
somewhere there. Vietnam. Yeah, we featured a handful of their builds too. And just the intricacy of everything, you're like,
he did a next level thing this year with the why can I think of what the term is all of a sudden? Kinetics.
Oh, the kinetic sculpture with the Manta Ray.
Very cool, very next level.
And you did it all on one motor too. I asked him right away. I was like, dude, is that a dual motor? He's like, no, single motor. I was like, oh my god. So he's breaking it all down, and he had saw some just random craft on Instagram. He's like, I can do a PC like that, and then he just does it. Like, Ben is awesome. He's really he's a bit more technically minded than AK and Ron are. Those guys are a bit more, I wouldn't say arts and crafts, but like, their mind is a bit more towards like crafting. Ben is a bit more technical. He developed the first stealth water block that BitsPower then worked with them, and then created that new block that they've got. Like, he's done some technically very advanced stuff, and it's really cool to see. And he just knocks it out of the park. It's just like nothing to him. So for sure.
And I have to say too, I feel like AK could like work for a movie studio. He could
absolutely. Easily.
He's one step away from that, dude. It's going to take one call from some prop company in Hollywood. They're like, yo, can you make like 50 of these or whatever? And he's going to be like, no problem.
Sci-fi
movie
coming up.
He's
incredibly talented.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So to make, hopefully, not make us feel too bad, you guys have to tell what's in your current system now, and you plan on upgrading?
Oh, you won't feel so bad.
Yeah, you won't feel so bad. So my main work rig that does all the editing and modeling and she's grumpy. That is a 3090 with a 1300K. And DDR5 with 5600 megahertz, or mega transfers, I should say. Now that's
DDR5. And mine's the same speed on my RAM. I'm a
Z790,
4090. I have a 4090.
Yeah, 900K.
So it's like old. But here's the thing.
It's not old. It runs.
No. It is old, and that's okay. But here's the thing. By terminology, by what we think is like old versus new, it is old. This is old gen stuff. It works so great, and it works sometimes better than the newer stuff, I would even say. I think that these 40 series cards are a gem of a card to have right now.
Yeah. And I mean, most of the stuff
that... You will not see me upgrading to a 50 series card.
That's what bugs me about the whole Windows 11 hardware thing, right? I'm like, so you're telling me my 1800X that's, you know, in another system, like, can't run Windows 11 for some reason? I'm like, that piece, that CPU is just fine about anything I need to do.
Right.
I guess not.
Yeah. And it's interesting because we are kind of at a plateau of sorts in terms of, like, actual performance for per generation, right? I think bunch of people will debate the Moore's law, right? Are we past it or are we still behind? But I mean, like, in terms of like real world performance on what you get these days, dude, a lot of people are running 12 gens, 11 gens, no problem. I mean, there's still plenty of people with 10 gen CPUs from Intel running strong, you know. Ryan, you're running an 1800X, dude. I mean, that thing's old, but it still runs strong,
that's
right?
Like,
system. It's not as
Yeah. But this is a 5800X 3D, so it's generations old, too. But
right,
yeah,
but it's still running just fine. Beautifully, yeah. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It does what you need it to do.
So, 100%. You know, like, the current... It's really funny. So, the Bits Power... sponsored ISO that we did for Level Up Expo and then took to did we take it to, no, it wasn't CS,
we took it to SoCal Euro.
Oh yeah, the SoCal tech event.
Yeah, SoCal Euro. Oh my god, it's a
wrong
car show,
wrong industry.
Yeah.
We took to the JCSense event and then Level Up Expo. That system, I'm playing on that right now, and that one's got a 7700X in it with a 5080. I mean, obviously 5080, but dude, that 7700X, you don't even know that it's like not like a 14700K or 1400K, right? It plays games beautifully. And that's the thing. It's like, you have to kind of know what your setup is. Like if you're playing 4K, man, you can kind of save some money on a CPU and kind of splurge a bit on a GPU if it's your higher resolution,
I've been playing Overwatch with an APU for the last 4 months.
Yeah, that one of the prototype ISOs that you showed off, it was the Link Plus system.
Yeah, the Link Plus.
That one's got a prototype. It's a prototype setup from them, but it's got a 4090 Strix in it. But the CPU is a 8600G.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. And it plays games on 4K like just you wouldn't believe, dude. It's wild.
I wouldn't say not like you wouldn't believe. It's fine.
Well, I mean, like for an APU, the 4090 is absolutely carrying all the way. And sometimes you do get a bottleneck, but like for the most part, it is very comparable to a lot of other CPUs. And it's just like, it kind of goes to show this, like, you don't need the best of the best all the time. You can actually save a lot of money and do like mid-tier stuff. And then if you do want to spend that extra money and then make it unique and make it your own, then you can go that avenue with water cooling and make it more unique. And so you still got this really cool computer. You didn't, you know, you spend the next 3 months on rent on it. You spent maybe 1 month of rent, but now you've got this really cool system that doesn't look like anything else, right? So,
did we make you feel bad, or do you feel better about yourself, Bob?
I mean, I'm running a 5950X and a 4070 Ti. So,
see, I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah,
I love that CPU. It's a great CPU.
Yeah, it's a great CPU.
Great car too.
Yeah.
You don't need a lot.
Yeah, we I always still tell got a people system with that same CPU.
I always tell my friends too, like they're going to build a new system or build a PC and they want like the highest end thing. And I'm like, a 5 series CPU would be fine for what you're doing. Like spend more money on, you know, the graphics card or if you want that really cool case or whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, man, because you also have to consider some of those friends, right. That are hitting you up like, oh yeah, I want a crazy new build. It's like, all right, first of all, how often does this person plan on upgrading his stuff? Because there's a lot of people that are like, oh, I want a rig and I'm not going to mess with it for the next 8 years. Okay, then fine. Yep. Maybe you splurge a bit and you go balls to the wall with all the craziest hardware. Because then you've got the longest shelf life for your rig, right? It's going to last the longest amount of time it possibly can before it's like, oh, it's showing its age. But if you've got a friend that's like, oh, yeah, I plan on like messing with it in the next few years, it's like, all right, well, then I don't know if you need the best, right?
Yeah.
It's really dependent upon situation and just like lifestyle with the people that you know or you're talking to.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, exactly. Last question for you guys. Is there any tech or any upcoming hardware that you're really excited about? Anything that you're maybe looking, you know, towards the end of the year that's launching or anything that you see that you're like, oh, wow, I would love to like put that in a build or anything like that?
We did just hear the news that Intel is going to change their socket next gen, and that made me a little sad that they're actually going to do that. So the opposite of what you're saying, no. What is exciting? I would say, like, let's talk about, like,
well, can I shout out one of our favorite brands to work with?
Well, I was going to say Trikes is coming out with the water block for their, like, the Panorama water block, which I think is pretty neat.
Yeah, the SC based water block.
Yeah, I love seeing that there's like kind of more like I would say Trikes is pretty mainstream nowadays doing some water cooling things.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's good, right? Because the more brands that are doing that, the better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Water cooling kind of like legitimizes so niche, right?
Yeah.
So like any sort of company jumping into it, it's like, yes, more than welcome, because the more that happens, the more conditioning people's minds are, it's like, oh, this is kind of like a normal thing. Maybe I just need to jump into it, right? It's like, let's normalize that a bit, because, you know, I think at some point, especially only during COVID, everyone wanted a new PC or everyone kind of wanted to kind of dive into that a bit. And they had a lot more time on their hands. They kind of realized that, oh, maybe I can tinker with this, right? It's like,
yeah,
it kind of opened their minds up a bit. It's like, oh, there's a lot more to this than just kind of meets the eye. So I don't need to go to Best Buy and just buy something off the shelf. Like I can actually like dive into this a bit, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, no, that's good. But I was actually going to say Link Plus.
Yeah, Link Plus.
Link Plus is a company we've worked with for a few years. And
they make that all-in-one GPU cooling.
Right, but during COVID, they were showing off the CPU block aspect. And they've got a really innovative, cool, quick disconnect AIO system that I can absolutely see also be towards the water cooling trend, because it's going to get people more normalized with the idea of interchangeable water cooled components within a system.
Yeah.
You don't need to dive into the, oh my gosh, I have to pour liquid into this thing. And it's like, oh my God, it's still very closed loop, but it's still utilizing a lot of the very similar components that as an open loop would. And, in the past few years, they've been working towards getting
a full ecosystem.
Yeah, full ecosystem, some deals in with some AIB partners to say like, oh, you know, Asus, they want to have like a line of GPUs that have internally a Link Plus system. I don't know if it would be, you know, that would be dependent on the AIB, but like, I don't know if it'd be branded Link Plus, but basically like behind closed doors, OEM type system. We really hope that becomes a reality, because they've got a really cool technology that they've been working on. And
just pretty cool to see that and kind of introduce a different type of water cooling to the community as well on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to see their stuff both at CES and Computex and like, it's really, really cool. And they're really passionate about it too. That's one thing I noticed, because sometimes you talk to brands and they're just like, oh, this is the thing. And
right. You know, yeah. They're very enthusiastic. And that's always a good thing too, right?
It's you a very see people... small team. I think that they all really, they're all kind of just like into it. They're all in it together. And it is, I agree. They're very passionate.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So we're going to run through some news and check out one of your builds, because we featured you guys for this past week's Case Mod Friday.
Thank you.
And that is your one of your latest builds, which is the Project Infinity.
Oh, yeah. Ellie did this one.
Okay.
That's what I was going to ask, was like, how is the workload divvied up between the two of you? Do you toss ideas, bounce ideas off of each other and come up with a single design? Does someone like take on a whole project themselves? Like, what does that look like also?
That's a great question, because I think it is like a little bit of everything. Like, for instance, it just happened to be that I was the only one who had time to get this system done.
This was like done a week before we moved. Like,
yeah, right before we moved, wrapped this up, right after Computex. Boxes. Yeah. And we had to film a whole YouTube video for it as well. Oh, wow. So, but then like sometimes John will stay up, say like at dinner time, he'll be like, okay, I'm going to go work on a build. And then he's up till 3 a.m. and he'll have a whole build done by the morning. Or say, for instance, he has the build done and I don't like something on it. And I say, hey, that looks messed up, fix it. And then a better product comes from it. Like, we're very like, we work together. We're not afraid to say if we don't like something that someone's done, and to try to be like, hey, let's try to make it.
Yeah. Push yourselves.
Yeah. Like that yeah. Sometimes the tube runs don't look good. And so you've got to change it, or the colors don't work properly. So you have to change the sleeving color.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say a lot of the work we do together, but I would say a lot of the work we do also separate too. We also just like, we don't post for social media. I think that's a lot of like, we don't build for social media. We're building for ourselves and we post on social media as like an added bonus, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So we're not always looking for a reason to do something cool. Like, we don't need a brand to reach out to us and say, hey, we've got this opportunity. Like, Lee and Lee had these fans come out. We are not waiting for something like that to happen. Like, if we have a case laying around and some hardware, like, why not
just get another build going? Cool?
Yeah. You know, it's not just to do posts on social media and get the attention for. That comes secondary to everything else.
Yeah, it's definitely a bonus.
Yeah. Sure. So we're always just working. So it's hard to divvy up the work, because sometimes I don't feel like we're building something for 2 months you know, just little things like that.
Yeah. So you talked about Lee and Lee. So this features their new wireless fans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is the one that it basically, you just plug in a USB dongle to control all the fans, so you don't have to plug them in. Is that how that
works? Yeah, it's pretty neat.
It's wild for cable management.
Yeah.
Because I had enough with the hub for all the other SL line or the TL line too.
It's like terrible.
Like, when they moved, when they did the TL That's line awful. And the hub needed a 6-pin PCIe, that drove me nuts, man. I'm like, come on. Yep. Why are you doing this? So like, they're working towards it. And so this was a great example of like them moving away from making it more complicated than it needs to be. Right. So.
Yeah. I've loved the shift that we finally went to. Cause I remember when RGB fans came out and you had all these cables and then now we're just snapping the fans together. There's just one connector that comes off the end. And of course, in the case of these fans, you know, it's even easier. Yeah, it's so nice. I know Ryan's current build, he had to deal with all the
cables.
All the cables from the fans.
Well, that was with my custom loop. I'm in flux right now. I'm running an AIO and an air-cooled GPU at the moment. But yes, it was a mess of nine fans and the Corsair IQ, you know,
system. Yeah. So,
two IQ, you know, the commander hubs or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's a mess.
It doesn't help that brands started taking the proprietary route with things.
Yes, all these connectors that,
they want to keep you in their ecosystem. Yep.
Yeah. And not like take care of their ecosystem to kind of keep you loyal to it. Yeah.
And God forbid you've got something running for a few years and maybe something tires, like, oh, bummer, I just need to swap it out. Oh, wait,
you don't make this generations anymore?
Behind now?
And
now you can't even buy the connector, or like, it won't connect to something else. And
right, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of...
it ruins the fun a bit for sure.
Yeah, I see this build. You did a really cool thing. You mounted the reservoir onto one of the fans. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that,
horizontally, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that little abstract looking bracket, that's actually one of our own designs. And that's something you can buy on our website. So that's it's a pretty universal pump mount. It's got dimensions for universal DDC pumps, which is what that is, EKD5, Aqua Computer pump res, Heat Killer pump res, and then Bits Power reservoirs. So a bunch of different brands can be mounted to that.
Yeah, so I like this build because it's I wouldn't say it's insanely complicated, but it is at the same time. And I always like when a build looks really good, when just like how Ryan was talking about his computer, like the GPU is not water cooled, just the CPU, but it all flows together really, really well. That's one thing I really liked about this one.
It's kind of my favorite thing right now is a CPU only loop.
I love
a CPU only loop because I don't know. I just think that GPUs nowadays, they're so overly, the air coolers are so overly engineered that you don't have the need to
cool
it. And some brands have a water block available, some brands don't. And sometimes I don't like the way they look, and I like the way that the air-cooled GPU looks more. So yeah, now you'll see a lot of, if you see a CPU-only loop from us, it's going to usually be for me.
It's gotten to the point, though, we'll get flack for it on social media. There'll be quite a few people that are like, dude, what is with this non-GPU water cooled situation?
Yeah, why would you do all that and not water cool the GPU? Because I don't want it. Because that's gonna add four different fittings. Because I don't want, I don't know. I can go into it.
That's funny.
Just to keep it different, right? Yeah. Mix it up every time.
Yeah, I said, it makes it unique, which I think is a good thing. So
agreed.
Talking about unique, I mean this came out this past week, and I what I don't understand is why is Asus making an all because I know the Astral's nice and they've had a couple special editions, but like a $500,000
can we Astral, solve world hunger
or like but like I know this is like they're gonna get clicks and it's gonna be.
I'd be willing to bet you.
It looks really bad.
Well, that's the thing, too. If you look at it.
Yeah, people are going to complain about the casting process, leaving all those imperfections.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to bet when they, because, I mean, obviously, they also have the gold edition Astral, right? Which they pushed out, a couple months ago?
But the
it's like a limited thing.
Yeah. I remember that one.
In my head, my mind went to, they did an event in, I think, Abu Dhabi or Dubai. Someone there, probably some Saudi prince, was like, "Yo, I want that in real gold."
Yep.
And Asus is like, "Yeah, okay." And
they're like, "No, really, I want that in solid gold."
Yeah. The Saudi prince is like, "No, I'm being fully serious. Make that."
Here's the bar you can use to make.
How heavy do you think this is?
How heavy?
Because like an Astral by itself,
they're showing it. They show it on the. It's on scale.
Yeah.
Can't tell.
I don't remember what it was like.
72.4.
No, that was 32. Is that 32 pound card?
Yeah, I think it's 32. It might be 72.
It looks like 70. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That looks like 72.4 grams.
Is that 7,000 grams? What is that?
I don't know. I have to.
Okay. Yeah. 7.24 kilograms in the article.
Okay.
0.24 kilos.
7.24 kilograms.
So what is that in pounds?
That's beastly.
2 pounds is 15.9 pounds, so nearly 16 pounds.
That doesn't seem right. That seems low.
I mean, it's not solid. I mean, okay,
that obviously seems right. The shroud
is pretty heavy. Pounds. Okay, 16 pounds. Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah,
I feel like an Astral by itself weighs like 6. Could be wrong.
Yeah.
I just I'm worried for
that would knock someone out if you threw it at their head.
Yeah, that would kill.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a good thing that there's a backplate and the main that's in gold, right? So it's so if anything, it's in,
doesn't crash. It's on
right.
Itself.
Yeah, the PCB doesn't crack under its own weight or something like that. Like,
well, whatever Saudi prince wanted this, I want to see the rest of his system. Because if he's if he's putting this in a system with an AIO, I think I'd be pretty upset.
And then I'm gonna have some warts that I need to exchange.
But end up being the case, and it's because, you know, mainstream trends take over, man, and then the disappointment ensues.
Yeah, so that was one really interesting thing. This next thing, I think Ryan would be interested in, although I think Ryan's like a Marvel person.
Mm-hmm. But is this the Jim Lee card?
This is so NVIDIA put out a one-of-a-kind 5090 that's signed by Jim Lee, but it's actually painted by Jim Lee too. So this isn't like a sticker or anything.
Hand painted by him.
Yeah.
I saw him once at Comic-Con.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He had a long line behind or in front of him. But that's wild.
Cool. Yeah, that's very next level.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can enter to win it too.
Oh.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, they're doing a giveaway. Which is really, really cool. So we have the links to all that if you guys are interested. That's kind of like a one of a kind card.
Especially the fact that it's like hand painted. It's hard to put a price on something.
Just like a remark from him on a comic or a piece of custom work is in the thousands of dollars.
You can't get any more OG than that.
Nope. Yeah. Moving on to graphics cards. We saw a RX 9070 GRE. It's been tested. As expected, it sits between the RX 9060 XT and RX 9070. I don't know when or if we'll see this. Just like with the previous GRE card, it just came out later in the US. Do you guys always, like when you're doing a build, is it just dependent on the client on what graphics card you put in there?
Yeah, and availability, I think, is also a big thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a funny history with that. Because in the past, like if we're doing a build for a brand or something, and there have been things in the past where like, oh yeah, well, we want to be able to send you everything required, but GPU allocation is really low. So GPU, right? It's like, all right, well, just so as you know, we're going to have to use, you know, XYZ based on what we've got. And then we do that and the build turns out great. It's amazing. But then we hear about it a couple months later. It's like, well, we wish you didn't use that GPU. We wish you had used something else. It's like, well.
So, yeah, I think a lot of it is based on availability and what the client wants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But, I mean, it's tough because there's times when we've done loaner samples, and that's fine too, right? Especially because if allocation is really tough and samples are limited, we're happy to do a full marketing build for a company and we have to send the GPU back after a few weeks. Like that's not a problem because I would rather do that and have like brand consistency rather than a car that completely throws the build off because it just didn't jive.
Yeah. Yeah. I always wondered that. Cause like you see, and I remember especially 30, was it 30 series, Ryan? During COVID?
You just couldn't get it. Yeah. Yeah. Like prices were wild. You couldn't get them.
You couldn't get anything. And I just wondered how that would,
That was definitely a thing when the 30 series was out. There were a few brands. It's like, oh, we've got this and this and this, but we can't provide this. It's like, all right, well, that's fine. And more times than not, sometimes that's best with a water cooled GPU because even then,
it's not as visible.
A slimmer card. It doesn't hide the motherboard as much. It's completely unbranded from whatever AIB competitor that they had, and that works out better. And that has traditionally worked out well for us, but. You know, kind of in the realm that Ellie was saying is the air coolers are so over-engineered now. And some of these brands want to show that off. It's like, okay, well, things get a little muddy when it comes to that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. The next piece of news, Ryan, I think will like this because he's a big storage guy, built his own NAS. Silverstone has a new case, which is their SATA H2, supports up to 15 hard drives. Is this something you would use, Ryan?
I haven't looked into it too close. I don't think they're hot swappable. I mean, they're
not like the one. Yeah, not
super,
like the.
Yeah, super convenient for like how they've got them placed, right? And they've got enough cooling up front to keep those, get some air moving across those discs. You know, the case that I reviewed from them, the CA, this 8382, has the hot swap, which I really liked and wanted. But yeah, no, this is great for anybody that needs a ton of like just, you know, dense storage. And that's their.
Do you guys use like a NAS for storage?
We need to. We're working towards it, especially with like this new place. We were just talking about it, but I think we're actually going to be collaborating with Inwin.
Oh,
rack mounted stuff.
Some rack mounted system.
Awesome. Storage. Yeah. Yeah, that's the biggest thing when you get into content, you're like, okay, I need to back all this stuff up. Yeah. That's
when you want to hold on to everything. Like there's tons of raw that we really don't need to keep, but like, oh god, in case you need it.
Keep all of it.
Yeah, keep all of it, right? So it's like, man.
Yeah, I have 2 4-bay NASs, and they're not 100% full, but they're pretty full. So
what's the capacities on them?
So I have, which always pisses me off, and I tell Ryan about it all the time, is that I have the one is 6 terabytes, which never go on sale. Like 4 terabytes, 8 terabytes, 10 terabytes, they always go on sale, like Prime Day or whatever.
Spinning circles for me.
Oh. But yeah, so the one is just 6 terabytes, the other one are 12 terabytes. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
do you shuck externals?
No. No. Ryan has.
Sorry, I like my StreamYard. Just everybody went to.
Yeah, I saw you were frozen. Circles. I thought you were just.
So I shucked like all the drives that are in my Synology NAS.
Okay.
Shucked easy stores from Best Buy. So they're all 8 terabyte, like white label WD Reds and stuff in there.
Oh, nice.
That's awesome. That's easy. That would be. That's what I would want to do if anything.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm sure you guys will build a pretty nice server if you're working with Inwin. I did get to see some of their server stuff at Computex, so they have some really cool stuff. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They've got some really cool stuff coming up.
Yeah, old man in the chat says there are 30 terabyte hard drives now. Yeah, Seagate just announced that we did have an article on the website about it. 30 terabyte drives that they just put out. So just keeps on getting bigger, you know. And then we're all going to be shooting in 8K next, and then just running out of space.
You know, way back in the day, you know, 2006 to like maybe 2012, I can't count how many spinning disk drives I've had die. And so I've like such a fear over them. So like when I see the 30 terabyte drives, it's like, oh, that's terrifying. That's 30 terabytes of just
a lot of data.
Like if I were to go that route, I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I'm going to need 4 of those in a raid.
Yeah.
All for, you know, redundancy, because there's just no way I would rely on any single drive for any of that kind of sizing. Like that's crazy to me.
That's how I am. It's like, all right, that's set there, like that's my raid, right? But then it's also syncing out to Backblaze B2 storage for just like multiple, you know, copies and
right, yeah, exactly, right, like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was I had a hard drive die once. And I even was like talking to Western Digital to send them the platters, and I was just I was just like, it was just like photos and like memories and stuff. And I'm just like,
just a Bitcoin wallet or whatever. No big deal.
No,
rocking.
No, it's not that.
One of my dead drives that I still have has my Bitcoin wallet on it.
Oh, no.
You got to get those platters.
And all stuff I mined too.
Yeah. So you got to get those platters sent out so you can get that stuff.
Yeah.
No, never happening. That was 10 years ago.
I still got them though. I'm never going to get rid of it.
Yeah. Last piece of news. We actually, I believe we were like looking at these controllers when we were at that mall. They have their new Pro 3 wireless controller. Works with the Switch 2 now. I've been needing to get one of these because that was the biggest thing. When I was flying to Taiwan, I had my iPad and I had games on it, but trying to play,
it's really
like touching
hard
the screen.
On iPad. Yeah.
Yeah. So I need to get one of these. And this is a brand new one that just came out.
You said that you've never actually messed with this brand before?
I've never used it, but I've heard so many good things, and we've covered a bunch of their products.
We just got these for our in-laws, right?
Yeah. I've seen some of these in person, and the quality is insane. Like it's actually crazy, surprising how nicely they're made.
Yeah, I need to get one.
Yeah, I want to check out their keyboards because they do some cool retro keyboards.
Yeah, I've seen some of that. Actually, old man in our chat, I think he might have one, or he had some retro keyboard.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, they did like a whole Super Nintendo theme line.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen that actually too. Yeah, so
they've got like these really cool big macro buttons that are like super-sized Super Nintendo buttons too. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's cool to see brands like that. Like they're not like the big well-known brands, but they make some really, really cool
high-quality things. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, interesting things. So that brings us to the end of the news. Just real quick, coming up next week, I'll be taking a look at the Phison E28. I don't have a picture of it because it's technically not a real product. It's just all the new Gen 5 NVMe SSDs are going to be based on this controller. And Phison was nice enough to send us out a prototype. So we can tell you guys a little bit about it. And that just brings us to the question of the week. And I was talking to Ellie earlier this week because my computer is quite dirty right now.
Filthy.
Yeah. And that's the hardest thing with a white build is that these white fans are it's dirty.
Gray on them.
My question for you guys and for Ryan is how often, now I know Ryan because Ryan showed me a picture of like the dust layer in his computer once.
Don't want to know the answer to this.
Yeah. Question. So how often do you guys actually clean your PC?
I feel like I have a running joke with a couple of members in our Discord community that so the external radiator is actually a very, very great dust filter. Your system will not get as much dust in it if you have the external radiator set up.
Yeah.
And
because you configure it, right?
Yeah, because you configure it to be like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you would be so embarrassed and so ashamed if you had seen my...
Did we record when we actually blew it out?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Like, we'll have to send you the video.
Yeah.
Like,
you'll send us, yeah.
It's tough, man, because like with our main rigs... They're so set up, and I'm sure you guys feel the exact same way. They're so set up and nestled that, like, to undo everything and take it outside, it's like a lot easier said than done. Yeah, it's a lot of work. So, like, but I think the best practice for those kinds of scenarios is to stay on top of it. So, like,
once
every week, every week, it's a compressed air can because it doesn't need much to get that dust out. And so you don't need much power to blow it out. And there shouldn't be that much dust accumulation within a week to make your whole room dusty, right? But if you let it sit for months on end, it's going to get worse and worse to the point where it's like, if you blow it out in your room, dude, it's everywhere in your room.
Right. It's just getting sucked back into it.
And we very much recommend like just taking the system out into your backyard or your garage or somewhere outside to your patio, your balcony, and just air compressing the hell.
Yeah, you buy a $20 electric duster from Amazon that works great.
Yeah.
And blow it out that way.
Unfortunately, but... Bob, you're in such a humid climate. Oh, yeah. I think that's like.
Well, the thing is, I can't blow, like the dust is like, I wouldn't say it's caked on, but just like a thin layer of like dust that's on the fans that I can't. Yeah.
It needs to be like spray. That. Did you use any spray to try to get it off?
You have to scrub, huh?
Yeah, so I need to. My plan is, I'm actually going to make a video because I think it's a perfect thing to do. But I'm going to take it outside. I'm going to blow it all out, and then I'm going to remove the fans, take them out, and clean them.
Okay, so you haven't attempted yet.
I have not attempted. No, it's going to happen though because it.
Well, worst case scenario, you do live in Southern California. You can just throw the whole thing in the ocean if it doesn't work.
I figured it's either this is. I'm going to try to do this, and if it's too much of a pain, I'll just buy some new fans.
Hey, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, let's buy some new fans. Yeah. So it's,
It's funny because at our old place. We are actually running on a swamp cooler for like 8 years.
Which probably nobody probably knows what a swamp
cooler is. Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah. I know what a swamp cooler is.
Okay,
so
okay.
Like when it was hot, it was also humid.
Humid, yeah.
It was a freaking swamp cooler. So like we had a very similar situation at times, depending on the year of like that dust would just adhere to the fan blades or whatever. And it wouldn't be like, oh yeah, I'm going to dust it off. It's like there's still like a nice patina over it from that humidity just holding on to dust. And so that's probably what you've got going on right now.
It is.
Yeah. I would definitely recommend a makeup brush for like the motherboard and the hardware So as you're blowing the air, you're lightly dusting with a makeup brush because the bristles are nice and soft, not going to actually scratch anything, but it's just a little bit of abrasion to break up the dust as you're blowing it rather than just hitting it. And like, why isn't everything coming off? It's like, you need a little bit of abrasion, right?
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. It's going to be a project. I don't know when I'm going to do it, but it's going to happen. I usually like, so I take this system with me to CES. And it's usually like right before CES, I'll clean it up a little bit.
So I don't know. Do you really, do you just bring it into your hotel room and have it as a
So like we get a real, well, yeah, Ryan's not coming this next upcoming year, but typically like we would get a, like sort of like a condo. This past year we got an Airbnb and I drive from San Diego. It's a real easy drive.
Super easy drive. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just so much easier to edit on a big system like this than a laptop.
Well, yeah, and you've got all your settings all there already.
Yeah, like everything. It's so, you know, when you move to like editing on a laptop, like I was at Computex, I'm like, wait a minute, I got everything. Is just
there's no adjustment, no learning curve for sure.
Yeah, everything's just there. It works. Yeah. So
I feel that.
So yeah. So yeah, guys, that's gonna be pretty much it. If you guys want to stay on, just for a couple more minutes after to go over some things, but really appreciate you guys coming on. We have all of their links in the description of this video in our show notes for the podcast. So if you want to check them out, if you want to order that chassis, if you just want to check out their builds, it's all linked there. And really appreciate you guys coming on. It's been awesome and really good to get some insight from you guys on your builds. Cause like I said, I've seen them for years and it's really good to kind of get that insight on how you guys think and how you kind of come up with, you know, what you're going to do with these builds. So
sure.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, this was awesome, man. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Very fun.
And of course, guys, if you are listening later, of course, you want to go ahead and subscribe, and we will see everybody next week.